Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And Bob Shorey, by the way, is one of our MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, questions, and concerns because I don't know everything, I'll tell you. I practically know anything, frankly, if you think about it. But we'll do our best to help you out and maybe send you on the right direction to solving your issue. As usual and customary, we do have some technology news. And this one cracks me up. And it's similar to stuff that we've talked about in the past. Honeywell gets a frosty reception after remote smart thermostat is freezing up for a week. And what that means is people who went out and bought this Honeywell thermostat, smart quote-unquote thermostat, was down for a week. So people spent a bunch of money to have this smart thermostat be able to interface with your smartphone so that you could set your thermostat temperatures. And it was down for a week. And people in the U.S. and U.K. Are being told that the service is undergoing maintenance. And it says basically what they're telling you to do is just go and use the thermostat itself and not the app. But the problem here, again, is connecting to the cloud. I mean, this guy here says, this is ridiculous, one happy unhappy customer posts on Twitter this morning. We are the TCC server. When are the TCC servers and app going to be working again? Seeing as I can't get a response from someone in the UK, how do we get a resolution on this? People are upset that they can't work the thermostat. So it's the cloud again, guys. The folks at Honeywell decided that in order for your smartphone to talk to your smart thermostat, you must go to some big server in the cloud. And that one server in the cloud services everything. And guess what? When that one server in the cloud goes down, just like the folks at Wells Fargo found out, you can't use the service. Now, what could they do, Bob, to solve this problem instantly?
You mean bring their server in-house? Have their cloud in-house?
Exactly. So guess what? Most of us who are going to spend money on a smart thermostat have something called a computer in our homes, maybe multiple computers. So all you would really have to do is set up the ability to manage your thermostat through your smartphone to connect to your little home computer. Decentralizing.
Yeah, but then how am I going to develop that revenue stream, that steady current of money? I'm only going to charge them like 10 bucks a month.
To set your thermostat.
To set the thermostat. Yeah. Come on, it's such a convenience. So you know, isn't it worth 10 bucks a month?
Yeah, right. The point is decentralization, right? The cloud is trying to do what mainframes did for the 70s. Recentralize you, refocus you so that you're renting everything from this big data center in the sky. When if you really want it to work and be, you know, self-sufficient. Oh, that's crazy talk, self-sufficiency. You would put a PC in your home, and your smartphone would just talk to it and say, hey, PC at home, can you go ahead and set the thermostat? Now, in the event your PC is off for the day, big deal, okay? But when the cloud is down, everybody's down. It just seems stupid to me.
I can get my PC replaced in a day.
Exactly. So eventually, I mean, cloud is a thing, right? But I think a lot of smart companies might want to consider a decentralized approach to controlling devices like this. You don't need some big central control in the sky. You could have this software sitting on a PC, and if it wants to get an update every now and again, it can go out to the little mothership and download an update. But your phone could talk to your PC, which could talk to your thermostat, all in your house, and you don't need to worry about a cloud having a maintenance issue. Period. Problem solved. We'll see what happens. But I will put the link up here for you. What do you got, Bob?
Google Fiber's secret weapon in its gigabit comeback has failed.
Oh, no.
Google failed at something? Oh, I can't believe it. An experimental process for more cheaply and quickly rolling out speedy fiber internet didn't pan out, forcing Google Fiber,
say easy that for me to say,
to pull out of Louisville. That's in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay. Google's trick to more rapidly and cheaply deploying its super speedy Google Fiber project has hit a wall, complicating the company's broader attempt to get its gigabit service back on track across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
The internet titan had pinned its hopes on an experiment called shallow trenching, which enabled it to deploy gigabit internet in Louisville in just 5 months and drastically outpace rival AT&T Fiber.
Nice.
But Google Fiber spokesman said problems with the process will force Google Fiber to cease operations in Louisville. Google is informing its customers Thursday that their service will end on April 15th. That happens to be tax day.
Yeah.
It's a massive setback for Google Fiber, which paused operations in October 2016, but rolled out in Louisville and San Antonio in 2017 as part of a quiet Google Fiber 2.0 comeback.
Yep, yep.
Using cutting-edge techniques to control costs and outflank traditional telecom companies,
right,
the service was supposed to be a speedier, less costly alternative to your standard cable or phone provider.
So real quick, what they're doing here with this trenching is staying off the poles. Because we already know there's no pole neutrality. You can't have free access and open access to the poles. There's all sorts of people and entities that are doing their best to keep any competitor off of a pole, period. And until we get pole neutrality, we're never going to have any good competition. So what Google said was, fine, I don't need your poles. I don't need your stinking poles. I'm going to cut some 2-inch trenches right down your roads and just lay the fiber and then put some tar over top of it, and we'll not even deal with any kind of pole issues. However, this approach seemed to have some snags. I mean, it's only 2 inches deep, right?
Right.
And then the fiber was having issues like kicking up.
Well, yeah, so it's down in a 2-inch trench, and they put this tar substance down to kind of glue it into the
right
and fill in that hole.
Yep.
And, you know, on hot days, which they never have hot days in the South.
In Kentucky, no.
Yeah, no, never happens. So they would get kind of soft,
right,
and the cable would work its way up.
Right.
And get run over by traffic.
Right. So clearly the engineers didn't think that through. But it's a great idea. I mean, nano trenching does make some sense if you can figure it out.
Its competitor, AT&T Fiber, used the same technology. But instead of only going down 2 inches, it went down 6 inches.
Ah.
And it wasn't having a problem.
Oh, good. So they can just cut a little deeper. So eventually, I mean, they're getting off the poles. The poles, you guys with your poles, eventually your poles are going to be useless. Can't wait until that day happens and that control is gone. But if you're only going to put the fiber down 2 inches, you do a mill and pave here in Connecticut, I think it's gone.
Well, even in this article, and we'll put a link up to it, if you look at the picture closely,
yeah,
you can see that the road was paved so many times that the curb is maybe an inch high. So, you know, if they did a full
mill
where they brought it down to the original road surface, which would be 4 to 6 inches deeper, that 2 inches, that cable would be history.
Oh, well, let's leave it to some IT geek to not realize that. In other news, this is kind of funny, $145 million in funds of fake money, this is cryptocurrency, are locked up because the guy who ran the cryptocurrency company died and didn't give anybody his password to decrypt the funds. So that wallet of $145 million has a bunch of people whose cryptocurrency, they're fake money, can't come out. Now, this is ridiculous. In the year 2019, if you're in the fake money world, you would think you're going to give some combinations to the safe to somebody other than just yourself, right? You're going to lock it up in, you know, the old-fashioned bank, you know, go to escrow it somewhere away. But no, they're saying, well, this guy died, and now your money's not available. Sorry, crypto investors. It's kind of what you get for investing in fake money. And you can't get your fake money out. Now, from what I've heard from people in the know in the crypto community, that it's probably not true that this guy was the only guy to have this password. More likely, people were draining the fund before he died. And the people are saying this guy could have even faked his death. But the point being that they kind of are looking at the wallet and it doesn't look like it is fat enough to have $145 million in fake coins. So they're theorizing that this guy might have been siphoning off the fake money. And now he said, oh, the guy died. Sorry, you can't have access to it. Sorry.
So the guy died and they buried him in the Antilles in some bar on the beach.
I guess. He's spending his fake money over there. We'll put a link out here for you. But this really should get down to, have you guys think about the fact that cryptocurrency, there's no regulation.
Well, where do you spend it?
Well, you convert it into real dollars by some dingling who allowed for an exchange to exist so that they could use fake money to extort us by using ransomware. The whole idea of fake money needs to be ended so these criminals can't go and extort businesses using ransomware to say, hey, pay us in crypto because it's untraceable. It's got to go away. And this is just another example. So if you're invested in fake money, do us all a favor. Get out of it. You're propping up something that's a bad idea. I'll put a link up here for you. You never know when your guy who owns the whole wallet is going to die and you're not going to get access to your money.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve it if you get stuck that way. We're going to take a quick break and get back to your calls. Four lines open on this Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Feel free to get online, guys. We have four lines wide open. Some of you guys it's crazy. Some of the weekends, it's like feast or famine. I guess all the computer problems are solved and your thermostats are working.
We'll have to start talking about our kids.
We won't do that yet, but I got plenty of news. Here's some good ones. And you probably have heard this in other shows because it's such a big deal. The New York Police Department demands that Google's Waze stop revealing DWI checkpoints. Now, obviously, the New York Police Department can't demand that of Waze, and good luck getting that to happen. The whole point of Waze is to allow for your navigation to be smarter. And I love Waze. It gets me from point A. I do a lot of driving around the state for our client base. And I can get from point A to point B within a few minutes. And I've explained to my brothers that, if you look at Waze, there's no point in speeding, ever. There really is no point. Waze will tell you how long it's going to take you to get there from point A to point B, right down to the minute or two. And if you end up driving 10 or 20 miles over the speed limit, you're going to only improve your time by a minute and a half. But you're going to increase your odds of getting a massive speeding ticket by like 80%. So there's no reason to speed. You're not going to improve your time because unless all the highways are empty and no one's there, the planet is not going to allow you to go any faster than or get there any faster. I promise you, I've been driving forever.
Well, the laws of physics are going to prevent it, number one. Then there's
the traffic.
Murphy's Law,
yeah.
Number two.
So basically, the police should be happy about Waze. It should reduce speeding because there's no point in it. If you actually use the app, you'll see there's really no point. But secondarily, you'll never get caught with a speed trap. Now, I know you guys are out there to save the public and keep us driving safely. That's why you're out there to shooting us with the radar. Right? That's why you're out there. You're not out there to collect funds for the town, are you, or the city, or the state?
No. Serve and protect.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So I would think most police officers are happy when we tag that you're sitting there shooting, radar, because it's going to slow
everybody down. Yeah, exactly.
So the ding-a-ling who is trying to beat a time, which he really can't do, sees the cop there and says, oh, I better slow down. I also don't want to get I don't speed. All right? I don't. But I don't want to get nailed for finding myself in a 55 that just switched from 65 to 55, and I didn't notice it because it's designed as a speed trap.
We don't have any of those here in Canada, do we?
Not so many here, but up in Vermont when you're driving to go ski, there's a couple of places, sheriff up there, man. But I digress. So Waze is a great way to save To allow for safety. Also, if you're pulling somebody over and you mark that the police officer is ahead, it's good for safety for the police officer because, again, it'll slow traffic down. Folks are going to avoid speeding in that area. So it's all good. So, guys, I'm sorry, but there's no way in heck Waze is going to stop revealing that information. And if they do, another app will pop up that allows it. There's no way you're going to beat this, guys.
It's like whack-a-mole.
Exactly. So figure out a different way to deal with it. And I do think it's a safety thing that it actually improves safety by knowing where the police officers are for both the police officers and the public.
Well, not only that, but it alerts people to, like, say, an accident, like 10 miles down the road. So you don't come on this and all of a sudden
barrel
not paying it in and barrel in and have another accident.
A lot of great benefits to Waze. Highly recommend it. It's free.
Not just, Waze, but there are other apps too. I mean, you know, Garmin, what have you. Cruise control to me is the best thing out there you set it on cruise control to the speed limit. You never have to worry about it.
Well, wouldn't it be great if you could interface your Waze to your cruise control so when the speed trap came up, it actually slowed your car down?
Well, now we're talking about
that's Elon Musk, man. Yeah, that would be perfect. So, sorry, New York Police Department. Waze is going to continue to offer us the ability to tag where the officers are, and I know a lot of officers appreciate it as well. And they may not appreciate it when they're trying to raise revenue. I'm not going to cry a tear for you, but for an overall safety, they have to realize it's probably slowed down a lot of people smart enough to use Waze. So
absolutely.
Let's get
to your call.
To
say the same thing about CB radios.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, they didn't like, Smokey and the Bandit, that whole thing, right?
Yeah. Turn on Channel 9, I think it was.
Was it? Yeah. All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Chuck in Durham first. Morning, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey,
morning. What's up?
I always like to hear your professional advice. So I'm on a board, and we're setting some life standards for computers for put them in a replacement program.
Sure.
And we are talking about 4 years for both desktops and laptops, and these are not cheap machines.
Okay, so I would disagree with that. So I would say you can get 6 years out of a properly configured desktop. So if you start with at least an i5 processor, so if you put an i3 in there, it's barely a computer. But if you start with an i5 or better, it should give you at least 6 years of service, performance service, as long as you've got, 8 gigs of RAM, or at least if you've got a good hybrid hard drive, it'll give you 6 years of performance.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the hybrid hard drives on these machines.
Okay. But 6 years, that's where you should go. Laptops, 4 is about right because they take a beating. I would avoid laptops for people who are not going to be mobile with them.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Right? But 6 and 4.
That's what I always recommend for our client base. And many times with our machines, they might even get longer than that.
Okay.
As long as they're built well and you haven't skimped on the spec, it'll perform.
They're supplied by one of your competitors.
All right.
So I'm presuming that they are good machines and not Best Buy cheapos.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, but I don't either, really.
Yeah.
I know that they're all Windows 7.
What?
So that means that they're probably fairly current machines.
No.
No.
These are Windows 7 machines that somebody supplied you?
Well, no. They're in service now.
Oh, they're in service now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got another year left on them.
Yeah, and that was one of the pushes that they were saying for 3 more machines is that try and replace them now because Windows 7 is going away.
Well, there's
I was arguing that Microsoft will probably extend that.
They probably will. There's 2 schools of thought to that. So if that company is motivated by a commission for the guy to sell you something, we are not at TAB. But if that guy is motivated to sell you stuff, yes, he's going to tell you, oh, you got to change it before support ends. That's not necessarily true.
Well, I would just go out and buy the license for 10.
Well, upgrading an old machine makes no logistical sense either, because if you spend labor on doing that, that doesn't make any sense. Try to get your 6 years, even with the support ending in 2020. If you haven't changed all your systems over, it's not the end of the world. As long as you've got good security prophylactically around the network, the machine will still work. It's not going to stop working. So be careful with those guys. It's saying you must change it or else. It's just something to drive their bottom line.
All right. So I'm going to push to change our replacement schedule on the desktops for 6 years.
There you go, Chuck. It'll save you a lot of money.
See, you just saved me a lot of money already.
Yeah. That way you got it, sir. All right. right, so Chuck's going to save some money. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and like us at Tab Computer Systems and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it just might get into your news feed. And if you follow us on Twitter, Tab Computer Systems. Who's on Twitter? I don't know. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here at 11 o'clock. We have one line open for you now. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out. Let's go to Lori in Deep River first. What's going on, Lori?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I called a couple weeks ago asking how to stop QuickTime from pausing in our videos.
Oh, yeah.
A gentleman that called back and said, well, try downloading VLC, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Did it work?
Well, he's playing with it now, and it seems to be working.
Hey, great.
And oh, by the by, Waterford, we've already got almost 1,000 miles on our bikes this year. So we'll see you on the road.
Oh, awesome.
But he's trying to disable QuickTime to make it stop working, and it's essential to the system, or it's running, or other options. How do we...
You should be able to uninstall QuickTime.
And it's telling us it's essential to Windows OS X.
To that version of...
Yeah.
Maybe at the time of that version, because if I recall, you have an older version.
Yes, it is. It's an older version.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that if Apple did the same thing Microsoft did and said, oh, you can't remove this. It's integral. Mm-hmm. But I think they've stopped support for it.
Probably.
There may not be a way to do it. Unless you upgrade that version, but I don't think you're gonna because of the age of the machine, right?
Right. Once this laptop dies, it's toast.
So what was the version again?
You're in Lion? Are you in Lion now? About this Mac. Yeah, there we go. Software. Lion.
Yeah.
So,
probably. If it's telling you that it can't be, but let's see what we can find here. It's all based on that version.
Yeah.
There are some things out here, but again, it may not tell us exactly. We're not big Apple users, but we're feverishly looking to see if I can find something for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if there's any Apple folks out there that can give us any advice as to how to either disable or remove QuickTime from the Lion flavor of Apple, that would be handy. Are you seeing anything, Bob?
Yeah, I got something here that looks promising. I'm just reviewing it to see if it looks...
Okay. So I might have something for you, Lori. Obviously, you've already got the other solutions so that you can use it. I don't know how file associations work in Apple, but I bet you could also associate the new app with your videos.
Okay.
In Windows, you can do it fairly easily, but I assume there's a file viewer within Apple where you can go ahead and associate programs. So even if it still has to stay on the system, you could associate the software to only open up.
Only open through the, I think it's VLC.
Right.
The new one.
Yeah, you'd associate VLC with whatever the files are that you're creating.
Yeah, it looks like they can be dragged into that folder.
No, I'm sure they can. But the key is, can you associate the actual extension so that it's defaulted when you run it? Your problem right now is you're defaulting to QuickTime, right?
I'm not that familiar with it.
Okay.
Al, are you going to try to make the videos associate only with the new? So you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know how to do that? He's trying.
All right, cool. So he's on his way. So worst case, if you can't remove QuickTime, you would do that. Bob has an idea.
I thought I found one. It says, okay. I'm at apple.com. It says, we'll be back. We're busy updating Apple support communities for you, and we'll be back shortly.
Oh, okay. So what year will they be back?
Who knows?
Okay.
So I have something that you can look at, too. Mm-hmm. We actually have a link here. So how do you... All right. We might have a link that we can put up that'll assist you with VLC.
Okay.
And maybe how to make it a default player. Beautiful. Yep.
Okay. So how to make it a default. That's what you're going to link on.
Yes, we are. That'll be very... That should work for you.
Okay.
All right, Lori. We'll
look at that shortly. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck out there. Stay safe.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go on to Brian in Kensington. Hey, Brian. What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a really stupid question.
Ah, we love those. Those are the best questions. Actually, no question's stupid, I should say, really.
You say this all the time. You got to back up stuff.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Oh, no, that's a great question. How do you back up? There's two ways. You can do it a complicated way using a tool that'll back it up, creating a kind of a specific file type that you then have to kind of decrypt, or you can do simple copy and paste. If you go out and get a couple of external hard drives from any big box store, online, or wherever you want to do, you plug them into your machine, go over to the directories that are important to you, right-click copy, go over to the new drive that just showed up when you plugged it into the USB, right-click paste, there's your backup. Disconnect it from the computer, and now you've got a backup. It's that simple.
Okay.
That's a way to do it. It's the simplest, low level. It's manual, so you got to do it.
So I just pick up what? Just
an external hard drive.
Hard drive.
Yep, a USB hard drive, a couple of terabytes in size for probably $80. And I would get a couple of them, so you have at least an A and a B, and go to your directories that you think are important. You know, your Word documents, your pictures, your music, whatever it might be. Right click.
Okay. Machine, but
make a directory on the new drive called Brian's Backup 1, or whatever you want to call it, or Backup A. And within that directory, you're going to go ahead and paste whatever other files on your computer that you want to save. And then in a week or two, whenever you've made changes to that data, do it again on the other drive. And then you can create backups 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 within those folders. You have to do it manually because you're not doing anything right now, right? All right, so that's the easiest way because your files will be easily viewable. You'll be able to get to it. If you want to get to a more complicated way, there are software programs out there. Ezus, we recommend, which is a software program you can download, and you can configure it to back up regularly.
I don't think it can go that far.
I had a feeling. Yeah, I had a feeling. So copy and paste will work for you.
Okay.
All right, Brian, but do it. Definitely do it because now you've talked about it. Your computer heard you. And now it's going to decide whether.
Well, you can send it back up, and
that's it. It's all temporary. That thing is running on a 5,400 RPM platter with these little tiny. Think of it as a record player. Remember the old days with record players, and they had all the scratches and stuff. The needle would be running on the record. That's what's in your computer, but it's got multiple platters with multiple needles spinning at 5,400 RPMs or faster constantly.
That's not good.
No, and the moment it has an issue. Think of it as an engine seizing up where you didn't put any oil into it. It's dead. It's gone. Your data's gone. So you got to put it somewhere else. Anything on a computer is temporary.
That's right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Make sure you do it, Brian.
I will do it.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's one of those things. Half the battle is realizing you have a problem, and the other half is going out and actually taking action. We're going to step out. For a quick break, we got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and everything we've talked about will be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here at 11 o'clock. Three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online. Don't forget, we do have a podcast, so you can listen to us anytime if you go over to WTIC.com or radio.com, and you'll find the Computer Talk with Tab podcast if you've missed anything. And, of course, you can follow us on the stream. We got a lot of listeners all over the country who call in. Feel free to call in if you're anywhere other than Connecticut, 800-966-WTIC. We'll pick up a tab and help you out with that. Let's go right to Len in Manchester. What's going on, Len?
Good morning.
Morning.
Got a problem with Microsoft Office 2016. Well, I stupidly crashed my computer a while back. It had to be completely reloaded, and I had a bought version of Office.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I had no backup disks. I didn't get that with the computer.
Mm.
But I had to call Microsoft and have them reload the thing.
Okay.
When they reloaded it, ever since then on Outlook, what I'm getting is no matter what I do, it synchronizes. It says, you know, it gets this little cross-hatched bar that says syncing.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts because it takes a while to do it.
Mm.
but I've tried every setting I can find for syncing to turn the thing off, and I just can't get rid of it. And I just get a little nervous not knowing what it's syncing with.
Well, it's getting your mail, kid.
What's that?
It's getting your mail.
It's getting the mail?
Yeah. You want it to sync.
It's syncing with your mail server.
If it doesn't sync, you don't get any mail.
Oh, okay. Well, in the original load on the Outlook, it didn't do that. It just went into it.
No, it did. You just didn't notice it.
Just didn't see it. That's
yeah, you didn't notice it. Now that could be also a symptom of your machine's performance or your internet's performance or your mail host's performance slowing down.
Yep.
But the synchronization, right. You know, maybe your machine is going to sleep, right? And you're waking it up,
uh-huh.
And things are starting to wake up, and then Outlook comes up, and then it has to go out and communicate with the servers, and then it synchronizes. You want your folders to sync. Because if you have a smartphone, do you have a smartphone?
No, I don't.
Okay, but if you did, and you had the Outlook account on it, you couldn't send and receive mail. So you might respond to, you know, Bob with an email on your smartphone,
uh-huh.
That your now Outlook on your PC needs to know that you did. And that's the idea of synchronization. So if you have multiple devices, Outlook will sync that information for you. And, of course, it's going to sync the information with all your email addresses that you're using within Outlook. So it's completely normal.
Oh, okay. So that's nothing to sweat that it's going off into space somewhere.
No. Yeah, no. If you stopped it, you'd be calling me because you have an email problem.
Okay.
It's okay. Don't worry, we've heard crazy your calls.
Okay, that's for me.
All right, Lynn.
Thanks a lot.
You got it, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know what? If you don't know, you don't know, right? How are you going to know if you don't know?
Right.
My email syncing. We got some news here for you because we have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. In the news here, Amazon might be rethinking the New York City headquarters because they're all upset that there's unexpected friction because there's so many people upset about what's happening here, where Amazon's coming into the Bronx, I think it was, and they're getting huge tax breaks. Now, this is the biggest company on the planet. And, of course, for some reason, politicians seem to have to pick winners and losers. So they gave Amazon a massive tax break to come in to this neighborhood. And there are people that are just upset about it. And now Amazon's saying, you know what? If you don't like us, I guess we'll go to some other city who's willing to hand up all sorts of taxpayer goodies for us to come. Can we just make that illegal? Period, guys. No more tax breaks for these big monstrous companies. Let's just set the playing field equally amongst your city or your state and let the chips fall where they may. You know, first 5, first 15, first 25. Why are you picking these guys? Why? What's so special about them versus the rest of us taxpayers who are getting the, you know what, paying through the nose to cover up the difference of what you're offering these people to come in?
I hate to say it, but in this case,
yeah.
I agree with AOC that this
Who's
is
AOC?
Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez. Oh, you can't. Oh, yeesh. What do you say?
And she said that this just amounts to corporate welfare.
Of course
which
it
is true.
Yes.
So we agree on that.
Enough corporate welfare. Enough picking the winners and losers. It's ridiculous. Just set your tax policy so that it's attractive to business. Period. Don't be picking winners and losers so that your buddies and friends, for whatever corporations you want to attract in, are the ones that get the deals.
Yeah,
and the rest of us
pay higher taxes to cover
the differences.
I get a deal. I get a tax cut.
Yeah.
Right? And the governor gets to come to my party.
I know. So Amazon, you guys in New York City might be losing Amazon. They might be moving out to some other city willing to sell their souls. And it's all got to stop. But we'll see what happens in New York. It would be pretty funny to see it actually melt down and they go to number two. I know Hartford and the folks here in Connecticut were willing to give up everything they possibly could to get Amazon to come here.
Well, Hartford could give up the rest of its actually paying tax base to bring them in.
Well, we're already paying their $50 million debt. Let's go back to your calls. We're going to go to John in Tallinn first. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I called a few months ago about a six-year-old Windows 7 that I still haven't replaced.
Okay.
So I've been looking at desktops, and I'm wondering how these slimline compact units compare to a traditional desktop.
So we would recommend you consider traditional because it'll have more airflow.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah, the little guys are great for we do install those little guys for specific types of operations, whether they be point of sale for retail or something like that because of space reasons. But I would always recommend a good full-size desktop. It'll give you that 6 years of service, good airflow, good ability to upgrade.
The problem with the little ones is people tend to put them somewhere and then stack things on top of them, which impedes airflow.
Yeah, and they already have an problem with that.
And they need more airflow than the big ones.
Yeah, because there's less space inside the
case.
Yeah.
They're neat, and they're powerful. I mean, they can all perform just as well. I just think that it shortens their life a bit.
Well, this is also a machine that probably gets less than 20 hours a week of on time. It's off more than it's on.
Sure, that's true, too. So you could factor that in. If it's not being used in a business environment where it's on all day, every day.
Well, it is, but it's a small, small, small business. So
okay.
I do a couple invoices and click them onto the bookkeeping, and then that's it for till the next job goes out the door.
I hear you. So, yeah, you could factor that. I mean, it's fair to factor that.
Yeah, okay. So, but they look pretty much the same as far as what's inside of them.
Correct. They can build these things to have the same performance. They can support three monitors, plenty of hard drive space, RAM. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's just a small, compact spot that I think shortens the life a bit.
Well, it's going to stand up on a desk in open space, so it's not going to...
Yeah, I think you'd be okay then.
All right. Well, thanks for your help.
All right, John. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to Mark in Michigan. See, I knew I had people listening on the stream. Hey, Mark.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're on our way from our home in Gaylord over to Traverse City, and right now we're in Kalkaska in the 10 degrees and about 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Ah, lovely, lovely Michigan.
Yeah.
I really miss the Midwest.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
On my iPhone, when we're taking pictures, everything gets backed up to the cloud.
Yes, sir.
When I delete pictures off of my iPhone, does that also delete them off of the cloud, or they stay in the cloud?
I think they stay in the cloud. I think you have to go to the cloud and remove them from there.
Okay.
I don't think it syncs, because that's the idea of a backup, right? If you maybe you made a mistake, and you're like, oh, I wanted that picture. You know, Jeff Bezos is probably thinking about that twice nowadays, too. I wanted that picture. I gotta save it. I don't want it to go away. You have to go back to the cloud to get it. So if the cloud deleted it, it wouldn't be a very good backup.
Okay.
So I'm not an iCloud user, so I can't say that for certain, but that's how I would expect it to work.
Okay. So I have to go into my computer itself, into the cloud, and then sort through them to see what I want to delete.
Exactly. Exactly. I would suspect that's the case.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Mark, for listening on the stream.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I mean, that's how a backup's supposed to work. And the problem is some people don't even realize their phone is backing up this stuff up into the cloud, and that's how the fappening happened. When all those celebrities' naked nudies got out, they were taking all the pictures of their stuff, and then it got backed up to the cloud, and it's really easy to hack your backed-up Apple account, it seems. It happens over and over and over again. And these poor celebrities found out the hard way that once you back it up into the cloud.
I don't feel bad for him.
No, I don't either. Again, we don't know how Bezos' junk got exposed, but, you know, maybe that way. Well, we know how he did it. That's true. He did it to himself. But what are you going to do? Let's go on to Paul in Litchfield. Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. What's up?
You know that one of the states bidding for the new Amazon headquarters is Connecticut, right?
Yes, sir. I'm sure we're giving up the farm.
Well, yeah, Ned Lamont's going to look into it. That sounds like a good deal. and on and on.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, their standards still have not changed. I mean, okay, everybody talks about the tax benefits, but one of the reasons Connecticut did not get into the running is that they wanted a metropolitan area of a certain size.
Yeah.
They wanted access to a major airport within a certain time frame.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's called, you know, everybody says, "Oh, Connecticut's in a great position, but we're midway between New York and Boston." Well, yeah, but if you know, for sake of argument, you go to Hartford and it's what, 2 hours to Boston and
right.
2.5 hours to New York, and that's not exactly close by.
I hear you, Paul. We're going to have a hard break here, sir, so we'll see what Ned does. I'm sure he'll give up the farm. They won't be coming here, though. We'll be right back.